The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it Friday yet? The answer is a solid no. N-O. No.
No.
But it's coming.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And we always think positively. That's what we do. We pump you up. We get you through the day. We start it off right. We're like your vitamins. We're like your push-ups. It's like saying prayers. Mm. It's all good.
It sounds familiar.
Thank you, Hulkster.
Yeah.
It is 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yep, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Operation Epic Fury, day 27. And U.S. and Israeli allied forces continue to intercept the vast majority of Iranian missiles and drones. A new report and expert analysis reveal, though, a growing concern behind the headline success: the cost and sustainability of the defense itself. More than 90% of Iranian projectiles have been intercepted during the war. That's according to a report obtained by Fox News from the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, thanks to a layered regional air defense system built during years of coordination. But beneath the success lies a widening imbalance that could shape the next phase of the conflict. The report highlights a critical trend. Iran's least expensive weapons are proving to be the most disruptive and are draining costly U.S. and Israeli interceptors. The current air defense architecture integrating the U.S., Israeli, and Arab systems has proven highly effective, stopping the incoming threats. That's great. Early warning systems, shared radar coverage, pre-positioned assets have allowed multiple countries to work together to defeat Iranian missiles and drones. But during a press briefing on Wednesday, Press Secretary Caroline Levitt said more than 9,000 enemy targets have been struck to date. Iran's ballistic missile attacks and drone attacks are down by roughly 90%, she said, adding that U.S. forces have also destroyed more than 140 Iranian naval vessels, including nearly 50 mine layers. So these are good things.
Mm-hmm.
But can we keep up with the demand?
That's a good question.
For those defensive missiles. I believe we can. Now, I'm sure that all of these things are in full production.
You would certainly think so.
As we speak, yeah. Now, where it could, I guess, get tricky could possibly be for Ukraine, because with this presidency, this president is going to protect Americans and American military lives and American lives in general before he is going to worry about the war effort in Ukraine.
Right.
So, and that's just the president always putting the American people first. And I can't speak for everyone, but I kind of like it that way.
Supposed to be that way.
So we will do what we need to do. And yes, there's a tremendous cost. War is not cheap. What would be the cost of if the Iranians were able to put together, even if it was a dirty nuke, and they got it near a populated city? What kind of damage would be done there? And how much would that cost if you could put it even in dollars and cents? So these are some of the decisions, some of the things that are done, some of the strategies that are deployed. Overall, high missile and drone interception rates have been important, but only tell part of the story. According to an expert, Iran came into this war with a deliberate plan to dismantle the architecture that makes those intercepts possible. It has struck energy infrastructure to upset markets and used cluster munitions to achieve higher hit rates. Again, they're using those cluster-type bombs, which we've all agreed we're not going to use. So they've gone against, well, really the entire planet with the use of those. And once again, it shows you what this regime is all about, targeting innocent civilians. I mean, look, and part of the peace plan, I think, that was outlined that the U.S., from what can be speculated, pieced together, okay, from reports. But basically, one of them was, I forget the verbiage, but it was like cut back on like supporting the proxies.
Right.
It wasn't like eliminate. any financial connection, which I thought was odd language.
Yeah.
You know, completely eliminate the ballistic missile thing, the nuclear thing. All that was, you know, language that seemed appropriate and made sense. But this one is like, you know, like cut back on it.
No.
Like, yeah, could you go on a diet for a while and give less funding to terrorists? And be like, no, if we catch you funding any terrorist, it's not going to go well.
No.
I mean, look, the president said he's gonna unleash hell, you know, and this is what else he said.
I went on to do something that for 47 years should have been done by any of the other presidents. And you heard numerous of them said they wished they did it, but they didn't have the guts to do it. We had no choice.
Look, President Trump has given Iran every opportunity, to give up, to do some kind of a plan together, whatever. He has given them options. He has given them time. But he's not a man who will remain patient forever.
No.
And so that's why he said he's prepared to unleash hell if Iran refuses to come to a deal. And it looks like it's headed that way. He warned of this yesterday, and he cautioned the regime, hey, you shouldn't miscalculate again. And we obviously have devastated them on the battlefield. But they continue to not want to really cooperate to any large degree. Iran should not miscalculate again. And Caroline Leavitt warned that as well, echoing the words of the president, arguing that the regime's last miscalculation already cost their senior leadership, their Navy, their Air Force, and their air defense system. And the message from the president is clear. If Tehran refuses to accept that reality, the consequences will intensify. So that's where we're at on day 27 of Operation Epic Fury. And we'll keep you up to date with all of those things as well. Former Ocala High School football coach sentenced for sexual activity with a student. And you know, you see these cases all the time. There's really, honestly, about one a day. A teacher and a child, okay? But it seems like it'd been a trend as of late, a female teacher with a male student. This is a man. This past Friday, 44-year-old James Edward Ford III was sentenced to 10 years in prison with credit for 3 days served. He pleaded no contest to the following charges: unlawful sexual activity with a minor, offenses against a student by an authority figure, traveling to meet a minor to engage in unlawful sexual activity. He must also register as a sexual offender and surrender his Florida-issued education certificate. Apparently, he's former assistant high school football coach in Ocala. And back on Thursday, January 16th, a school resource officer at West Point High School informed the Ocala Police Department of inappropriate contact that had occurred between a student and then assistant football coach, according to the arrest report. The student had told the school resource officer that Ford had been touchy with her, adding that there were other little but major things that he had reportedly done. Well, as you can imagine, the thing started to escalate, and then they have all the proof of information that was on their phone texts back and forth were very damning, and showed that there was some sexual nature to their involvement, and traveling to meet a minor to engage in unlawful sexual activity was part of it. And prior to his sentencing, he entered a plea of no contest. And Marion County court records show that the fourth charge regarding the use of two-way communication device was dropped by prosecutors. But a 10-year sentence. And that seems appropriate. I mean, I'm not a judge, but, you know, what other message can you send about how serious this is? Leave the kids alone. But it seems like that's a little bit heavier handed that we've seen go the other way toward female teachers, there's still a bit of sympathy or something involved there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's less traumatic to a boy than it is to a girl to engage in that kind of activity with an adult, and they're not mature enough to fully understand and grasp it. That's why we protect minors. 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We got a lot more to talk about next on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Well, good morning and welcome to Thursday, that filler day as we wait for Friday. Yeah. No, but it is going to be a good day. We're going to make sure, right? 8:22 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. How are those airport lines? People having fun traveling? It's a nightmare in most case scenarios, although many have come forward and said where they have deployed ICE that has been quite helpful.
Nice.
But nice. ICE is nice. Yeah. ICE is nice.
Yeah.
Not according to the mayor of Chicago.
Well, he's an idiot.
He hates ICE, but he wants to protect murdering illegal immigrants. Go figure. Yeah. More on that moron coming up. Let's see. You've got Democrats trying to blame the Republicans for this DHS shutdown. Yeah. That's not the case. It's the Democrats that are holding things up. As we spoke to Congresswoman Kat Kamick a few days ago, and in fact, if you didn't hear it, you never have to miss a minute of the show. You just search for the Bob Rose Show on your favorite app, hit the follow button, and catch up on great interviews like the one with Kat Kamick. And you can do it whenever it works for you. Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcast. But she said, hey, look, the House, we passed the bill, the spending bill. Everything was good. It's the pesky folks in the Senate who seem to be the problem, and specifically the Democrats, except for one, John Fetterman.
Yeah, amazing. He still amazes us in a good way all the time, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, it's the greatest, if I could say, the greatest stroke of genius to ever occur.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So anyway, Congressman Will Cain asked him, you heard the House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, saying it's legislative malpractice to not fund DHS, to not secure the safety of Americans. I think in the past, by the way, it has been called like legislative terrorism for the minority party, which you are the minority party. You don't have power, but you're going to try to control the funding of the government and to ensure that you don't get any money for ICE. The question is, why are you using hostages in this case, 260,000 American federal workers, not to mention the thousands that are standing in line, by the way, and the millions whose security is compromised? Why are you doing that now? And when you said it was terrorism in the past? Well, this is Congressman Jason Crow, a Democrat out of Colorado, and he said, well, first of all, it's the job of Congress to pass appropriation bills and to make sure that agencies are following the law. That's why Congress exists, not just rubber stamp an appropriations bill or a budget request. But that is what the Democrats demand so often. They don't want to intricately look at the things that they try to mush into bills. No. That later Doge clearly identified most of those, that those expenditures and waste and fraud and fat and going to places we wouldn't normally want them to go. That was all the vast majority of it due to Democrats. He says, but make sure that the law is being followed. So basically what he's trying to say is somehow ICE is breaking the law. ICE is breaking the law. Not illegal immigrants are breaking the law. ICE is breaking the law.
How twisted.
That's exactly right. The civil rights and constitutional rights of Americans are being followed. That, I mean, that's part of their thing in Congress, to make sure that they're being followed. If we were simply a rubber stamp, I mean, come on. Hakeem Jeffries, who said, to use this tactic that you're using today is legislative malpractice and compromises the security of Americans. And basically, they don't have an answer for that. They don't have an answer for that. Oh, block spending? That's perfectly okay when Democrats do it. When Republicans do it, oh my gosh, it's awful. It's evil. But you think about it, the Democrats already have identity issues. The Democrats, when I was growing up, they were the party of the working man.
Right.
They certainly are not that now and haven't been for quite some time. And their problem is people are catching on to it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they have to open the floodgates and allow people to come in, because they want them to be voters and to vote Democrat, because, you see, the policies as they exist today, in most cases, save for a few, you know, blue cities and some states, their policies aren't going to win them votes anymore. They don't make sense. Now, they still have the mainstream lefty media on their side. That has been the great protector of the Democrats and the lefties and their movements for years. And unfortunately, it still continues on. Because if you were to expose, you know, all of their things, and people would at least have open eyes and open ears and didn't have Trump derangement syndrome, they would agree. The Democrats are no longer the party of the working people. I mean, you get up and you go to this job every day and there's high expectations that you're going to be good at your job because public safety demands it, because you don't want a bomb to get on an aircraft. And yet you don't think it's important enough to pay them for that work. And the Democrats, just like in all the other things that they do, like the open borders, they quite frankly don't give a damn about the collateral damage, especially if it happens to be American citizens. Oh, well, tough, right? 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is in the house. TSA is getting help from ICE. I'll cite another example coming up, and we've got a lot more to get to on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
You're welcome that I read these studies and break them down for you. Otherwise, they're boring. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:35. Come on. It's Thursday. Let's start to crank it up.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of good things going on. And maybe you're going to celebrate a little happy hour, or maybe you celebrate the weekend when it comes around, or maybe you don't consume alcohol at all, or you celebrate in different ways. It's all good within moderation, not what we're told. And then recent studies came out and said pretty much any alcohol has detrimental effects on your health. Yep. And now there's a study, okay, that basically says not all alcohol is created the same and does different things to your body. Now, remember, they used to measure like basically like a 12-ounce beer, 5 ounces of wine, and a 1.5-ounce shot of spirits all contain relatively the same amount of pure alcohol, about 14 grams, give or take. But basically, that was always kind of the measuring stick. Hmm. Well, according to a new study, there is somewhat of a benefit for wine drinkers. Now, they did this in England. They follow a couple thousand people. But yeah, wine drinkers actually had a lower risk of dying from disease than people who never drank or occasionally drank. So that kind of goes back to, you know, earlier studies that said, oh, a little sip of wine here and there is probably actually good for you. Well, this study kind of goes along with that, if you will.
Okay.
But alcoholic, you know, spirits, shall we say, beer or cider as well, contained associated with a 9% higher risk of dying from cardiovascular disease compared with drinking never or very occasionally. Yeah. So high alcohol consumption of any type is going to increase your overall health risks. Yeah, 24% more likely to die from any cause if your alcohol intake is high. But that's interesting because they'll continue to do these studies because basically, you know, people want to be able to justify their...
They're going to pick whichever one study has the results they like. Exactly.
Yeah, eggs are good. Yeah, I agree with that study.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon's even better. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they've done that study yet. I'm not sure it would turn out that well. But it hasn't stopped me from consuming it. All right.
Yeah.
You know, your friend on the radio that's had probably more heart attacks than Fred Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Your loyal servant, Bob
yes.
Rose. Happy to be here.
I mean, some people call in sick. You have a heart attack on the air and finish the show. Come on. Just say.
Yeah. They used to say, look, yeah, like a glass of wine or something or anything that sort of, you know, takes the edge off, but you don't overindulge.
Yeah.
They would say because there's other effects besides your physical health.
Right.
In other words, well, you were drinking at a social gathering, and therefore you're getting a give and take,
okay.
The social aspect of it, the mental, you know, you have to hold a conversation. So
sure.
Mentally, you know, still being.
But, you know, you can go to a social situation, which I might have attended one or two in my life. And not drink and still have a good
come
time.
On.
No, I know.
Come on, man.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, I did it for 20 years.
Mm.
Yeah. And maybe I'll go back on the wagon.
Yeah.
The Budweiser wagon!
Burp, burp, burp.
No. People that have maintained that, it is, in most cases, for the best.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I'm absolutely not promoting consumption at all. I'm just pointing out that, yeah, it is interesting how these studies will show different things, but I think common sense would probably dictate if you're consuming something that has a cause and effect,
yeah.
It alters your decision-making abilities.
Yeah.
It alters maybe the way you feel the next day to a large degree.
Yeah.
Then you have to recognize, hey, this isn't good for me.
Right.
And maybe I either need not do it at all or, you know, consume at much lesser levels. Try to stop the waste and fraud, doing the best we can. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services on Wednesday approved Florida's request to temporarily halt enrollment of new durable medical equipment suppliers in the state's Medicaid program, citing an explosion of fraud in recent years. Yeah, who was it that said... They quoted, and I'll put you a little bit on the spot, Greg, because I think you heard it at the same time. There's more medical device companies in South Florida than there are McDonald's.
Yes.
Was that Blaze and Golia? Or was that
I don't know if it was Blaze, because it was actually somebody we had on, so...
Florida Ag Commissioner? Wilton Simpson?
I don't think so.
Anyway,
it was one of our.
It came from somebody who is in the know and
absolutely.
Was trying to raise the flag of awareness that, yeah, there's a lot of fraud going on. CMS Administrator Dr. Oz described the move as part of a crucial federal-state partnership aimed at rooting out fraud in the nation's healthcare system. Yeah, and I know what they're intending on doing, too. You know, people become part of this fraudulent behavior. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're committing fraud, okay, and you're, let's say you own one of these medical device companies.
Mm-hmm.
You get people involved and you give them something. Hey, say that you receive this medical device or say you're in need of it or whatever. They use people generally. It's not the only methodology, but it's one of them. And apparently now they're going to do a better job of going after those people. that are cashing in to some extent, just not to the extent of the people that are running the show. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting serious on every level, and it's going to take time. And the biggest thing getting in the way is they just don't have really enough investigators and kind of law enforcement working with them to be able to really put a real dent in it, at least not yet. Now, Vice President J.D. Vance, his leadership of a task force to help eliminate fraud, and Governor DeSantis, his initiatives to strengthen enforcement, these are all coming together to be helpful. But it's, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. But at least we got the approval to stop new equipment providers from coming in, because I guess we just don't have the ability at the current time to really stop the actual fraudsters and fraudulent behavior. And, you know, it does get complicated.
Yeah.
You do have HIPAA regulations, so you've got people's personal information. You have to be careful, you know, how that is used in an investigation. So it does make it difficult. And along the same lines, I mean, this goes right with it, Vice President J.D. Vance led Task Force to Eliminate Fraud, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They've identified and suspended 70 hospice and home health businesses in L.A., 70 just in L.A.
Wow.
They were flagged as high-risk fraudulent providers. I mean, can you imagine? In our community, in our area, hospice has an absolutely stellar reputation. But maybe in places like California, once again, something that we just took for granted, provided, you know, great services at a very low cost. Maybe it's not the same in how it works there, but as the task force begins to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, and it ramps up, expect this number to grow exponentially. So President Donald Trump established this earlier in the month. This is all, you know, related to, in many ways, DOGE, as they uncovered a lot of the spending. I mean, you know, we can all agree that fraud is fraud. Waste, on the other hand, is a little bit more, maybe not difficult to discover. It's maybe more difficult because,
well, if it's not intentional.
Yeah, there's politicians who go, no, that's a good thing. Yeah, know, but you're not spending money, you know, that seems fiscally responsible, et cetera, too much overhead, not enough delivery of services. And that's where you get into that. Right. So we're making strides under President Trump. And a lot of help from Governor DeSantis, and now the head of the task force, J.D. Vance. And there's going to be some powers that they're going to be given to pursue these fraudsters to a greater degree with a little more bite.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and one of my upcoming stories has to do with $14 million in Medicare fraud. Ooh. And again, this is a California woman. You're not going to believe how light her sentence is.
Uh-oh.
$14 million.
Are we going to be irritated?
There's a good chance.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:45, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning, 8:51, Bob Rose Show rolling. Greg Cassidy is here.
Hey.
What's going on? Big plans, weekend?
Yeah, I got to go out with some friends tomorrow night. That's we're looking forward to that. And just a busy weekend, church stuff, that kind of thing.
Wow. Too. Well, good. And you need to stay busy, and you need to wash your car. It has been days.
You've noticed that, haven't you?
I'm getting sick of looking at that filthy thing.
Yeah.
I don't look at my own car, of course.
Oh, no, of course. It's much easier to judge. You know, it's that whole log versus, you know, like the little twig in your own eye kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There might be something there.
Yeah, with the log in your eye. But it does need washed bad.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock stretch, I'm going to give you the meaning, the current meaning behind Moby Dick. You think you are familiar with the story, but you haven't heard it told by me, and it's parallel that is quite timely.
Things are always different. It's kind of like when you sing a song off air in the studio. It always sounds a little different than how maybe I remember.
Really?
It. Just a little bit.
Really?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm looking forward to this. Because I had that book as a kid in like elementary school. Had that story.
Herman Melville.
Is that who wrote it?
Yeah, that's an easy. It's such a different enough name to where you remember it.
Herman Melville. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I recalled that part.
I'll just give you a little tease.
Just a little one, because it's a big whale.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So you don't want me to tease it? You don't think I should?
No, I think you've thrown enough out there that if they want to know.
Trump is Moby Dick. There, I said it. And I'll explain it coming up in the 9 o'clock stretch.
Took the tease away,
so you have to stick around.
Wow.
If you don't stick around, you got the Bob Rose Show podcast, where you get every minute, every issue on demand. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. You just hit subscribe. Yeah, I mentioned this. Los Angeles, California. A woman was sentenced Tuesday for her involvement in a $14 million Medicare fraud scheme.
Wow.
$14 million.
That's huge.
What do you think her sentence was?
Oh, got to be years.
Yeah, barely.
What?
Like barely 3 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
35 months.
No, that's nothing.
And think about it, for good behavior and all that, and... Yeah. I believe it's a state. Yeah, this is not a federal thing. At least they didn't go after it that way. But
maybe that's why.
Well, her sentence, you know, if you do it at the state level, you know, and good behavior and all that, you generally get a pretty good reduction in the original sentence, where if you do federal time, you'll do a much higher percentage of that time regardless. But anyway, let's be honest. Would you go away for 35 months? If the payoff was $14 million?
Wow.
I mean, I know
you shouldn't look at it that way, but the return on investment, shall we say.
Yeah, like crime doesn't pay. Heck it doesn't.
Well,
who told you that?
But here's the thing. Because this gets into technicalities now. Did she already spend the $14 million? Does she have to pay back part of the $14 million? If you're not really getting it, then no way. Or you got to give it up.
Yeah, I mean, she admitted in her plea agreement that she and her co-schemers, so it's not all her money anyway, submitted fraudulent claims on behalf of the sham providers. She was involved in the billing and was familiar with the amounts Medicare paid to the fraudulent providers on the types of claims submitted in the scheme, so she caused Medicare to lose at least $14 million.
Wow.
So,
How is that not a federal thing? I mean, I guess I just think of those as federal funds, but I don't know how it's distributed.
It is. I had to look further because it said California, and then finally it said federal prison.
Well, then you would think that it would be a little more serious, because you think of federal charges usually maybe having, you know, a little longer term sometimes.
And they probably would have if it went to trial, but she did a plea deal, and they probably said, look, and it sounds like she was cooperating.
Right.
So if that's the case in the long run, it might be helpful to understand how some of this fraud is taking place, and then maybe you can deal with other people that are doing similar things. Sophia Shacklian, Los Angeles resident, sentenced to 35 months federal prison, defrauding Medicare out of $14 million, submitting fraudulent claims for hospice care and diagnostic testing services that were either unnecessary or not provided at all. So she pleaded guilty in November to one count of health care fraud, ordered to pay more than $14 million in restitution. And like I said, she had co-schemers. But if she's ordered to pay $14 million, then crime doesn't pay.
No, it doesn't.
In fact, if you add up the interest and penalties, crime could be very bad for you.
Yeah, plus 3 years in prison. And depending on where you are, I don't know, that's not a happy life, even for 3 years.
But I mean, people, it seems like more and more, they don't have any shame.
Oh, no.
It's not like we didn't have people, you know, stealing. I mean, that's since the beginning of time, but to this degree and really scheming and they don't, it's like they don't think, I guess they're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if they just quit and walked away, they may not get caught.
Right.
Or may not caught for many years. But I guess like many other things, you know, if greed can manipulate you enough to break the law and commit these fraudulent acts, then I guess greed is enough to keep you in the game, if you will. Yeah, and there's that. Old Captain Ahab's coming along for a visit in the 9 o'clock hour. Ahoy, matey! We're going after the beast. Yes. Moby Dick, coming up next.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.